a prayer. Father, in gratitude we come to hear your word. We ask that you would speak to us through it and that we may be responsive to it in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, this is an unusual day in some ways. It's an unexpected coincidence that brings Palm Sunday and Fritillary Day together on the same day. So there's much to celebrate. We will have an opportunity in the hours that follow to practice our faith in providing hospitality to people who will come and join us and wander down to the Fritillary field and hopefully come back for a cup of tea and a cake. We will have an opportunity at the same time, hopefully, to celebrate something in the natural world that gives glory to God. Just one flower amongst what I understand is about 70 different species that are in that river meadow just down the lane. I want to talk about both of those things, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem and then our celebration of the natural world that is evident in our recognition of the Snakehead Fritillary. First, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which is what we recognized on this Palm Sunday. The events of Holy Week, of course, probably would never have occurred if Jesus had stayed in Galilee. But he knew that in order for his message to be propagated across the world, he had to confront the religious and political leaders of the day. And so he set his face towards Jerusalem. It was the time of Passover, a time of great pilgrimage, when many people were thronging into the city from the surrounding areas. And tensions were running quite high in the city at that time, and it wouldn't have taken much to ignite a protest. The Roman overlords, of course, wanted to keep the peace, and the religious authorities knew that if they didn't maintain control, there would be chaos. It was in their best interests to keep things quiet. Now, you read the Gospels carefully, it's likely that Jesus wasn't that well known in Jerusalem because he'd spent most of his ministry outside of the city. And it was his disciples that organized the procession. At his instruction, they found what in the translation we just read was a colt or a donkey, and it was loaned to Jesus in order that he could ride in procession on the back of the donkey. As he approached the city, the crowds begin to question, who is this? And the answer of his disciples is, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Well, they began to gather the palm leaves. They threw their coats on the floor, on the ground, to create a path on which he could ride. And they began to chant, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You can sense a sort of momentum beginning to gather as people join the throng and the crowd begins to grow. And after a while, the scripture tells us, the whole city becomes excited with what was happening. Of course, the religious leaders were not too pleased by this interest, and they tried to silence the crowds. But Jesus said to them in the reading we've just had read for us, if the people are silent, even the stones will shout out. There was, if you like to borrow the word that Laura Kunzberg, the BBC political editor, has made quite commonplace in these past months, a very febrile atmosphere. Jesus had aroused the hopes of the people for some sense of freedom. They were under the control of Rome. Rome, not Brussels, by the way. They hated the Roman occupation. They hated paying taxes to Rome. They disliked the notion that laws were being made not by themselves, but by Rome. In a sense, this moment was Jesus was their way out. It was their time of Brexit. Well, this triumphal procession that we celebrate on this day is the beginning of the week that leads to Jesus' death, and we will be following that story as we go through this week. But at this moment, there is great hope amongst the people that their bondage will be, they will be released from their bondage and they will be set free from those that seek to control their lives. Secondly, it is Fritillary Day. Thank God for the snakehead fritillary. For more than 30 years, this tiny little flower has helped to keep the roof on this church. Year by year, people come from miles around to just look at the flower, to take pictures of it, and then to enjoy the atmosphere of this church and this town and the surrounding area. For some of us, of course, it's an opportunity for us to reflect again on how we treat our natural world. It's clear that actually the benefits we have received as a church from this tiny flower arose because during the war there was a shortage of food and the river meadows around here were plowed and sown and harvested, and as a result the natural environment in which the fritillary grew was destroyed and only one meadow remained untouched. Through the years, it's interesting to notice how human behavior changes our natural world in very significant and important ways. I was shocked recently to discover a report that indicates there is a huge collapse in the insect population of our world. We've been familiar with the fact that the bees are in decline, that moths and butterflies are less prolific. But in fact, it's a much more pervasive problem that out of a million species of insects, many of them are disappearing from our planet. And some of the causes for that are human initiatives. Our use of insecticides, of course, have affected it. Changes of habitat, the way we are taking over parts of the world that have been otherwise left alone, even climate change is affecting the distribution of insects. Of course, for some of us, we might be saying to ourselves, well, that's a good thing. They bite and they sting. We don't like them in our immediate environment. They even contribute to crop loss. So good riddance to insects. Well, let's not be too quick. Insects pollinate our plants. Those are plants that many of us as human beings rely on for food. They're also key players in important jobs like breaking down dead things, building blocks for new life to flourish, controlling weeds, and providing raw materials for some of the medicines that we actually need. And they're food for larger creatures, for amphibians and birds and fish who live off of insects. Without the insect population, much of what we understand about the world will itself be under some kind of threat. And what I discovered this week, a rather unexpected benefit of insects. Someone has estimated that insects contribute $53 billion a year to the U.S. economy. That's about the price of our divorce bill in exit. So on this day of fritillary, let us celebrate this simple, small plant as one symbol of the great diversity of our natural world. Let's enjoy it and let's ponder through it our relationship to the planet. Now, the people who built this church, the church that is now held up partly through the benefits of the fritillary, had a very different relationship to nature than we do in our modern world. They learnt from nature. They would look at the behavior of ants and bees and discover in that behavior ways of in which to live together in harmony and contribute to one another. They discovered their role in society as a result of watching it. Birds taught them how to sing, and flies reminded them of the brevity of life. Their relationship with nature was much more intimate than ours has been. Because in the last few centuries, there's been a fundamental shift in the way we think about nature. We now think about it as a resource. Isn't it interesting? We don't talk about nature anymore. We talk about a natural resource. In the 18th century, people discovered that actually, if you stripped away the natural world and planted trees in straight rows, you could create forests that would be a natural resource for human benefit. It took a few generations of those trees to discover that by doing that, the natural diversity of the planet was being eroded. The result was the nutrients in the soil declined and the yield that was intended for economic benefit began to decline as well. We saw the birth of monocultures that themselves were not sustainable in one form or another. And the shift occurred because we began to treat the natural world as something other than ourselves that was useful to us, that we could exploit for our own benefit. The world became something for us, not something in its own right of benefit to itself. We began to see the world in different ways. And in one sense, that shift that took place over the last couple of centuries was an echo of what took place in the Garden of Eden. You remember when the serpent tempted Eve to take of the fruit of the tree? What does it say? She saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes. Now, Marilyn Fry, an American philosopher, has said that was the beginning of what she calls an arrogant eye, a way of looking at things for our own benefit, not for the value that they had in themselves. And that shift has resulted in huge changes in the way we look at and respond to the world. So on this Palm Sunday, on this Fritillary Day, as people come from all around the area to celebrate the Fritillary, let's remember what our Christian duty is to the planet. Rather than looking at it with arrogant eyes, looking at it as if it was there for our benefit, let us learn to look at it with loving eyes, eyes that value it for what it is in itself. Another American theologian suggested that actually, while we are Christians celebrating our spiritual lives and focusing primarily on our supernatural interests, we should split that word supernatural into two words. Christians should be supernatural, not just supernatural. There's something important about our Christian witness to the natural world, to the way we treat the planet, that is evident in that tiny little flower that people will come to this church and out into the village to see today. Everything in the world, from the smallest insect, the mighty oak, and the distant planet, is alive with significance. It all declares the glory of God, and it all has a purpose. As Gerald Manley Hopkins described it, the world is charged with the grandeur of God. So let us have loving eyes as we look upon the Fritillary, as we look upon our natural world. It takes a loving eye, it takes the time to notice, to pay attention, to look more deeply and to care more fully. Our gift as Christians on this day is to honor the natural world, to let things be what they are. Let them do their own thing. Be a tree, be a blackbird, be a fox, or be a Fritillary. In doing that, we let them sing the praises of their own creator. They are being true to themselves. So let us on this day thank God for the Snakehead Fritillary. Amen.